हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ओम् ओम् श्रीपरमात्मने नमः. मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः. ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः. साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः. श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् मस्ट् ट्रै टु चाण्ट् द श्लोक सो दट् यू कैन गेट् द बुक्. श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासो न गतासोंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः न त्वेवाहम् जातु नासम् न त्वन्नेमे जनाधिपाः न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम् देहिनोऽस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारम् यौवनञ्जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्णसुखदुःखदाः आगमापायिनो नित्याः ताम् स्थितिक्षस्व भारत यम् हि न व्यथयन्त्येते पुरुषम् पुरुषर्षभ समदुःखसुखम् धीरम् सोमृतत्वाय कल्पते नासतो विद्यते भावः नाभावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः अविनाशितु तद्विद्धि येन सर्वमिदम् ततम् विनाशमव्ययस्यास्य न कश्चित् कर्तुमर्हति अन्तवन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिणः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युध्यस्व भारत ययेनम् वेत्ति हन्तारम् यश्चैनम् मन्यते हतम् उभौ तौ न विजानीतः नायम् हन्ति न हन्यते न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायम् भूत्वा भवितावान् भूयः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयम् पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे वेदा विनाशिनम् नित्यम् ययेनमजमौययम् कथम् स पुरुषः पार्थ कम् घातयति हन्तिकम् वासांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय न वाणि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि संयाति न वाणि देहि. ओके, वे टू गो टू द श्लोकम. बिफोर दट वी आर सीइंग दिस कमेंट्री हियर. What we have understood now is thinking, what important lesson we have learned from these verses now. Essentially, every individual is abstract, formless reality implied by the term Atma. Absolutely, one should be able to say, Aham Atma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the knower, am abstract, formless, all-pervasive, indivisible, undivided, attributeless reality. Atma. I am Atma. I am the knower. Knower is Atma. I am the Atma. Aham Brahma Asmi. And this abstract formless reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness is the subtlest, therefore most pervasive, all pervasive. Being all pervasive, it's all pervasive of even this space. All pervasive of the all pervasive space. Being all pervasive, please mention, satlast sukshmatvat sarva vyapakatvam. Because of this extreme subtleness or subtlestness, it is absolutely all pervasive. And being all pervasive, it is unmoving, does not move. It is of the nature of motionlessness. Being all pervasive, it is motionless. Being motionless, it is of the nature of changeless. We say it is means what? The reality is of the nature of changelessness. And not being subject to any form of change, not in the gross change happening in the form of birth or death, not even subtle changes happening in the form of metamorphosis or growth, etc. Growth implies subtle change. No change or whatsoever. Atma is absolutely free from changes. Why change? It's free from changes. Atma is ever a such a changelessness because it is ever a such a motionlessness. It is ever of the nature of motionlessness because it is ever of the nature of all pervasiveness. It is ever of the nature of all pervasiveness because it is the subtlest. It is beyond everything. Nothing is beyond this reality consciousness. So, because of all subtleness, it's absolutely all pervasive. Because of all pervasiveness, it is of the nature of motionlessness. Because it is motionless, it is of the nature of changelessness. Because it is of the nature of changelessness, it is of the nature of actionlessness. It is free from any type of process of doing something. Atma is free from even the process of knowing. Atma is not associated with any form of action. Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness because it is even not associated with the process of knowing. Actionlessness because it is of the nature of changelessness. Because involving oneself in an action or any process of doing something means being subject to change. So, because of changelessness, avikriyatvat akartrutvam, changelessness, actionlessness. Therefore, Atma is not the doer or knower of knower of anything, a doer of anything. But there's no doer or unknower without the Atma. Being blessed by Atma, because the presence, blessing of Atma in her presence, all actions are possible, all functions are possible, the process of knowing is possible on the part of Anatma. The physical body becomes active and alive because of the live, conscious, subtle body. And the conscious or subtle body becomes conscious, sentient and functional, active because of the blessing of consciousness, the form of manifestation. So because the manifestation of the consciousness, the buddhi, the subtlest material product, the intellect, is associated with the process of knowing. Buddhi by itself, independently, it will not be capable of knowing anything. But buddhi, blessed by the presence of the Atma in form of manifestation, becomes conscious, sentient and functional, thereby it is capable of, associated with the process of knowing. Your Atma does not know, Atma does not do the process of knowing, act of knowing. Even though knowing is the very surupam of the Atma, knowing is the very surupam of the Atma. But why does it know? Knowing is surupam. But now, there is something called knowing, the process of knowing, which is knowledge, because of which knowledge is possible. So knowledge of the objects is possible, because there is a process of knowing happening on the part of the intellect. So intellect, what is intellect? Subtlest material product. And the intellect is involved in, associated with the process of knowing. But intellect itself, independently, will not be capable of knowing anything. Will not be capable of being associated with the process of knowing. But now, because there is manifestation of consciousness, because the association of consciousness, the subtlest material product called buddhi becomes conscious, sentient, functional, and capable of associating itself with the process of knowing. Therefore, knowing is possible, the knowledge happens. Therefore, from the standpoint of abstract, formless reality, consciousness, Atma, Atma is not the knower, Atma is not associated with any process of knowing. Whereas from the standpoint of buddhi, being inseparably associated with the buddhi, the knower of anything, any object in the world, is none other than Atma. Please make a note, Atma is not the knower, but there is no knower at all without the Atma. Knower is Atma. The knower of any object in the world is Atma. And the knower of the knower is also Atma. Knower of the known is Atma. Knower of the knower is Atma. And there is no knower other than the Atma. The knower is Atma. And I am the knower. Therefore, I am Atma. Atma is actionless. Therefore, I am actionless Atma. Therefore, what? Here, what we saw finally. This wise person, Jnani, is the one who knows that he is the knower, and he, the knower, is Atma. Wise person knows that he is Atma. But a ignorant person does not know he is Atma. Really speaking, Jnani is also Atma essentially. Ajnani is also Atma essentially. Everything that is here is essentially Atma only. The know, every individual is Atma. All individuals are Atma. The entire world is Atma. There's nothing other than the Atma. Really, absolutely, everything is Atma. Atma is not anything. Therefore, Jnani who knows the Atma being one's own self, who knows the Atma, Jnani who knows the Atma, the knower of the Atma, knows that he is Atma himself. Therefore, he is also actionless. Jnani is actionless. Ajnani, who is also Atma, does not know he is Atma. Therefore, his identity is Anatma. Therefore, he has the notion that he is the doer and knower. Therefore, Jnani is Atma. Atma is actionless. Atma is changeless. Atma is actionless. Therefore, knower of the Atma, the Jnani, is also actionless. For Jnani has no punyam and papam. Jnani is akarta. Jnani is abhokta. Okay? This is the important lesson. Okay. Let me read where we left. Today I have to explain to you. I want to explain to you what is akhanda akara vritti jnanam. What is vritti jnanam and what is akhanda akara vritti jnanam? This is not part of this lesson, but still I have to make it very clear for you. Even though I'll be slow, it doesn't matter. I have to make it very clear today. We've seen our Bhashyam. Who is a knower of the objects? Shankaracharya explains here. Evameva Atma Anatma Viveka Jnanena. Okay, no, before that. Atma Avikriyaha Evasan Avidyaya Buddhi Vritti Aviveka Vijnani Buddhyadi Ahritasya Shabdadi Arthasya Upalabdha Kalpyate. Please make a note, very clear. Upalabdha Kalpyate. Upalabdha here means the receiver of the objects, the gainer of the objects, which means knower. So, Atma is imagined to be, taken to be the knower of objects. Is Atma the knower? No, Atma is not the knower. Then who is the knower? The knower is Atma. The knower, Atma, is said to be the knower, taken to be the knower. Knower of what? Knower of the objects. Knower of the objects such as sound, etc. Shabdadi arthasya upalabdha kalpyate. The knower of the objects such as sound, etc. is taken to be Atma. Okay. Knower is said to be Atma. Why? Yes. And what is object? Object which has been perceived, known through the instruments of knowledge. Internal instrument of knowledge, buddhi, and external instrument of knowledge, sense organs. Buddhi adi ahritasya, shabdadi vishayasya, upalabdha atma kalpyate. Atma is imagined to be, taken to be the knower of object such as sound, etc., which is known. Ahrita means which is perceived. Perceived through internal, external instruments of knowledge such as buddhi, etc. Etc. stands for sense organs, buddhi and sense organs. Why Atma is imagined to be the knower of, the perceiver of the objects such as sound, etc., known through, perceived through the instruments of knowledge such as buddhi, etc., sense organs, buddhi and sense organs? Because the reason is ബുദ്ധി വൃത്തി അവിവേക വിജ്ഞാനേന. അവിവേക വിജ്ഞാനി അവിദ്യയ, ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ഇഗ്നറൻസ്. റിയലി സ്പീക്കിംഗ്, ആത്മാ ഇസ് നോട്ട് അറ്റ് ഓൾ ദി നോവർ, ആത്മാ ഇസ് സ്റ്റിൽ ദ നോവർ ഈസ് സെറ്റ് ടു ബി ആത്മാ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദി ഇഗ്നറൻസ്. അവിദ്യയ, ഇഗ്നറൻസ് ഓഫ് വാട്ട്? ഇഗ്നറൻസ് ഓഫ് വാട്ട് ആത്മാ ഈസ്, ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദി ഇഗ്നറൻസ് ഓഫ് ദി ആത്മാ. വി ഡു നോട്ട് നോ വാട്ട് ആത്മാ ഈസ്. And there, buddhi vritti aviveka vijnane. Aviveka vijnana means due to the lack of discriminative understanding of the buddhi vritti and atma. So, when knowledge takes place, knowledge of objects takes place, any object or knowledge of anything takes place, knowledge takes place in the form of a thought. Okay, knowledge rises in the form of a thought. Jnanam udikkindrathu. When you say knowledge rises, knowledge takes place means knowledge of an object takes place in the form of a thought. The knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is said to be what now is also said to be cognition. A knowledge is what? Vritti jnanam. Knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is said to be a vritti jnanam. This vritti jnanam comes, remains and goes. Rises, remains and goes. That which comes and goes is vritti jnanam. Even the knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am comes, remains and goes. Again comes, remains and goes. The knowledge of the world exists, vritti jnanam, comes, remains and goes. The same way, knowledge of any object rises, remains and goes. Why? Because that in vritti jnanam, the two factors are involved. As I told you already, I'm repeating it today because people ask me in their personal, in my personal text messages, they requested me to explain this. Vritti jnanam means that two factors are involved. One is vrittihi. How do you understand what vritti is? You can never understand what vritti is. Why say vritti is inexplicably subtlest matter? Vritti has to be understood only in terms of vritti jnanam. If there is a knowledge of an object, okay, this is an apple. What is this? This is an apple. If you say, then there is vritti jnanam pertaining to apple. Then you can say there is a thought pertaining to apple. If you say this is a fan, there's a thought pertaining to fan. This is a book. There's a thought pertaining to a book. So countless number of thoughts rise pertaining to respective countless number of objects. So you have so many thoughts. Even the thought pertaining to a book rises, there is book cognition. When the thought pertaining to fan rises, the fan cognition. A thought pertaining to flower rises, there's flower cognition. The thought pertaining to a fruit rises, then there's a fruit cognition. Flower cognition, fruit cognition, food cognition, book cognition, road cognition, van cognition, car cognition, any object, body cognition, finger cognition, nail cognition, thought pertaining to a given object rises. Very quick, when I'm explaining as though it doesn't take very long, very quickly, okay, unimaginably quickly thought rises. countless number of thoughts pertaining to countless number of respective objects rise. So every thought rises, then there is that particular cognition happens. Pot cognition, road cognition, car cognition, driving cognition, driver cognition, people cognition, anything. Any thought can rise. Any thought pertaining to singular or plural objects can rise. The many people you see on the road, immediately what? People cognition. The particular thought pertaining to people, particular thought pertaining to cat, dog, cow, cow cognition, cat cognition, anything, any. Now, scientific fact to understand. So, thought pertaining to a specific fact, 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. A thought pertaining to a specific fact rises. Then there is cognition of a given fact. So, fact thoughts arise and cognitions are there. What we have to understand, without the thought, there cannot be cognition, there cannot be knowledge. So without, when the thought rises, there is cognition. Now the question comes, without the thought pertaining to something or the other, there cannot be cognition at all. Then, can we say then, thoughts alone can become a cognition? No. Without the thought, there cannot be cognition at all. But thoughts themselves cannot become cognitions also. Very important. Okay, apple cognition. When the thought pertaining to an apple rises, there is apple cognition. Thought pertaining to a dog rises, is a dog cognition. If the apple thought does not rise, there is no apple cognition. If the dog thought does not rise, there cannot be dog cognition. Okay, without the thoughts, there cannot be cognition, there cannot be knowledge. In deep sleep state, don't think I'm wasting my time, simply I'm not explaining. I'm really explaining to you, to explain the Bhashyam here, I have to make you understand what is Vritti Jnana. In deep sleep state, thoughts do not rise. Why thoughts do not rise? Because mind is non-functional. Why mind is non-functional? That is how the mind functions. That is how the function of meditation is. There is a time mind is non-functional. Because in keeping with an order, even in the function of meditation, there is an order involved. As according to that order, the mind functions. So there's a time the mind is non-functional. Then thoughts, all the thoughts pertaining to all the objects remain resolved. No thought rises. When the no thought rises, there is no cognition. There is no knowledge. That is why when there's no knowledge, there's no cognition, then there is no experience of cognized known objects. That's why there is experiencelessness in deep sleep state. You say experiencelessness, there's blankness of mind. There are no cognitions which keep on rising and resolving. Because there is no cognition, first of all, there's no perception. Therefore, the thought does not rise. Therefore, there's no cognition. Therefore, there's no knowledge. Therefore, there is no knowledge, cost, reactions, responses also. Therefore, we see deep sleep state, there is no cognition because thoughts do not rise. Without thoughts, no cognition, we understand. Does it mean if the thoughts are there, then cognitions will be there? Mere thoughts themselves cannot even rise. If the thoughts have to rise, the cognitions have to happen. Always, mind needs the blessing of reality, consciousness. In what form does the consciousness bless the mind? Consciousness becomes manifest. Consciousness is inseparably with the mind. And mind being the subtlest of the material product, there's always consciousness in the mind. Without thoughts pertaining to the objects, there is blankness of the mind. And the blankness is, the consciousness is, consciousness illumines the blankness of the mind. Why does consciousness illumine the blankness of mind? What is illumining is the nature of the consciousness. Nature of the reality. Reality knows the blankness of mind. Reality illumines the blankness of mind. Therefore, mind being blank is known. Water is. If in the presence of the light, that opaque things are there, light illumines the opaque things. The place is vacant without any objects. The light illumines the vacant place. Similarly, the thoughts are there, consciousness illumines the thoughts. Thoughts are not there, blank mind is there, consciousness illumines the blank mind. But when the thought rises, okay, when the thought rises, then thought becomes what? Manifesting medium for consciousness. And the same consciousness which is there as pure consciousness. In the absence of thought, consciousness is pure consciousness. In the presence of thought, the same consciousness is said to be manifested consciousness. This consciousness with the thought is what? Cognition. So without the thought, there cannot be cognition. Thought by itself cannot become the cognition. It is presence of the reality in terms of consciousness. Presence of consciousness is the blessing that in the presence of consciousness, when the thought rises, there is cognition. So, consciousness is not associated with the process of knowing. Presence, being, existence is the nature of consciousness. All pervasive, therefore motionless. Motionless, therefore changeless. Changeless, therefore actionless. Free from any process. All processes happen in consciousness because the blessing of consciousness. Without the consciousness, there cannot be any process. There cannot be any action. So here, the vritti rises, the material product, subtlest material product, intellect, enjoys existence, has the status of being existent, and it becomes conscious, sentient, functional. The thoughts rise. The function of mentation itself is possible because of the consciousness, manifestation of consciousness. Okay, therefore, consciousness by its mere presence being manifest contributes for the process of knowing, contributes for the possibility of the process of knowing on the part of the intellect, the reality in terms of pure consciousness by its mere presence, by its manifestation, contributes for the process of knowing, the possibility of process of knowing on the part of the intellect. Therefore, from the standpoint of the intellect, which becomes capable of being associated with the process of knowing, because of the blessing of consciousness, presence of consciousness, we say the knower is Atma. So Atma upalabdha kalpyate. Atma is said to be, taken to be the knower. Because of what? Because we do not know actually, absolutely Atma is not the knower. Because Atma is not associated with any process of knowing. That's why, because we do not know avidyaya, because we do not know what exactly the reality is, the reality implied by the term Atma is, avidyaya. We do not know what exactly is the reality implied by the term Atma. Therefore, we do not have the discriminative knowledge of the buddhi vritti and the consciousness in the presence of which the buddhi vritti becomes a cognition. Because of which the buddhi vritti, we do not have the discriminative understanding of the manifest consciousness and the buddhi vritti. Buddhi vritti means what? The thought modification. So buddhi vritti aviveka vijnanena avidyaya. Therefore, what do we think? When the objects are perceived and known, objects such as sound, etc., are perceived and known through the instruments of knowledge, and the knowledge takes place, cognitions take place, Atma is taken to be the knower. Really speaking, Atma is non-knower. Atma is absolutely of the nature of actionlessness, not associated even with the process of knowing. Okay, this is the first meaning. Then second sentence we see, I think I made it very clear today. Even now, if you are not understood, then I will redo the class. Then you will feel bored with the class. Okay, next sentence. I'm coming to the point. Evameva. In the same manner. Okay, now how Atma is taken to be the knower? Because of its association with the buddhi, which is involved in the process of knowing with the blessing of the Atma. Now, what about the Atma Jnanam? Not only Vishya Jnanam. What about the Atma Jnanam? Anatma Vishya Jnanam takes place because of the blessing of the Atma, because of the process of knowing happening on the part of the buddhi. Okay. What about Atma Jnanam? Anatma Vishya Jnanam is okay, we understood. The knower of the Anatma Vishya, Anatma objects is said to be Atma. Okay. In Atma Jnanam takes place. The knowledge of the knower Atma, knowledge of the known takes place, it is vritti jnanam. Knowledge of the knower Atma, knowledge of the Atma takes place, that knowledge also is vritti jnanam. Knowledge of anything is vritti jnanam. Knowledge of an object is vritti jnanam. Knowledge subject, knowledge of the knower Atma is also vritti jnanam. Knowledge of the known is vritti jnanam. Knowledge of the knower is also vritti jnanam. Knowledge of the anatma objects is vritti jnanam. Knowledge of the satya atma is also vritti jnanam. Knowledge of anything is vritti jnanam. And vritti jnanam is mithya. Why? Vritti jnanam, which comes and goes, and which is dependent on satya atma for its existence. Therefore, it is mithya. Still, atmajnanam also is mithya. Because atmajnanam also vritti jnanam. Atma alone is satyam. Atmajnanam, which rises in the of thought, also is vritti jnanam. Okay. In atmajnanam, what vritti should rise? Your part knowledge has to take place, part vritti has to rise. Part vritti contributes for part cognition. Similarly, vritti pertaining to Atma must rise. Vritti pertaining to Atma must rise. Then Atmajnanam is possible. The vritti pertaining to Atma has to rise means what now? That means the Shastra study, Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam will contribute for the Atma, thought pertaining to the Atma to rise. We want to understand how Atma is timeless. Atma is spatially limitless. How Atma is objectively limitless. And how what Atma is, abstract formless reality is the nature of knowing. So, the unfoldment of the meaning of the words of the Shastram, revealing the nature of the Atma, contributes for the rising of the thought pertaining to Atma. And that thought is said to be Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam. Akhanda Akara Vrittihi means what? A vritti pertaining to an object which is subject to time is said to be khanda akara vritti jnanam. Because the objects which are subject to time, knowledge or cognition pertaining to any object is time bound because the object is time bound objects. Whereas here, even the Atma is timeless. Atma is limitless. So, the vritti pertaining to the Atma can rise only when the understanding of the nature of the reality happens. Then that particular vritti rises. And that, finally, under what? Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the knower, am abstract formless reality Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman. When this knowledge rises, Atmajnanam rises, then Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnana. Why? Because Brahman is Akhanda. Brahman is this absolute formless reality, is free from all limitations. Therefore, it is Akhandam. Akhandam means what? Indivisible, undivided, partless whole. देखो द नॉलेज ऑफ अब्सोल्यूट रियलिटी से भी अखंड आकार वृत्ति ज्ञानम, अखंड से वृत्ति ज्ञानम, अखंड वृत्ति ज्ञानम. बट दिस वृत्ति वृत्ति ज्ञानम इज टाइम बाउंड. इवन आज जाते रियलिटी राइसेस रिमेन्स एंड द नॉलेज रिवील्स द ऑब्जेक्ट. एनी नॉलेज शुड रिवील इट्स रेस्पेक्टिव ऑब्जेक्ट. एप्पल कॉग्निशन शुड रिवील द एप्पल. Then similarly, akhandakara vritti jnanam rises, and there what to understand, aham brahma asmi. That jnanam takes place. It is not an event, okay? Repeatedly understanding. And then vritti jnanam goes. Akhandakara vritti atma jnanam, akhandakara vritti jnanam also results. Because any vritti is subject to time. Vritti is subject to time, vritti is mithya. But understand, by that knowledge what you have arrived at is, Atma is satyam, Atma is timeless. Okay, even then, when aham brahmasmi, when the jnanam takes place, and the person in whose mind aham brahmasmi jnanam takes place, since who sees, the wise person, jnani, can say what? Aham brahma asmi. So who is the knower there? The knower in the mind of a jnani, who is the knower? The knower is, I is the knower. And the knower is what? The knower is Brahma. Knower is knower. Knower is Brahman. Knower of the known is also Atma. Knower of the knower is also Atma. And knower is Atma. Atma is actionless. Therefore, the knower, Jnani, is actionless. Please make a note. Atma is actionless. Knower is Atma, therefore knower is also actionless. In this knower is Atma means what there? There you are distinguishing, cognitively are distinguishing the consciousness from the vritti, vritti. Distinguishing is called Viveka Vijnanena. Vritti viveka jnanena. Buddhi vritti viveka jnanena. Because of the discriminative understanding of the knower consciousness from the buddhi vritti. Buddhi vritti. One sees what? The knower is Atma. Atma is actionless, but the knower is actionless. Therefore, a jnani who knows his Atma is actionless. Have you made clear or have I confused you? Or have you not understood at all? We will say aham. First of all, take this. Aham itself is what? Vritti jnanam. Aham is a vritti jnanam. Aham asmi is a vritti jnanam. Aham brahma asmi is a vritti jnanam. See, this is a book, is a vritti jnanam. This is a table, is a vritti jnanam. Aham brahma asmi is a vritti jnanam. Isn't it? In this vritti jnanam, leave the vritti. We distinguish the vritti. Vritti jnanam is a cognition. The cognition, every cognition, lead the vritti and distinguish that consciousness. What is it? That is aham. Understand? So there the vritti and consciousness together is what? Aham, cognition. Aham brahma asmi. There is a vritti jnanam. Leave the vritti, intellectually, cognitively distinguish the consciousness called viveka jnanam. Buddhi vritti viveka vijnanam. Viveka jnanam means what? Cognitively discerning, distinguishing the consciousness from buddhi. Physically, we cannot separate consciousness and thought. But cognitively, we can separate, distinguish the consciousness from thought. We distinguish it, that pure consciousness, the consciousness cognitively distinguished from the thought is the knower, Atma. The knower is what? Atma. Consciousness is Atma. The knower is Atma. Atma is actionless. Therefore, knower is actionless. Therefore, Jnani who knows his Atma is actionless. The Ajnani who is also Atma, but who does not know his Atma, therefore he is taken to be the doer, knower. Okay. The word is said here, he says, Eva meva Atma anatma viveka jnanena buddhi vrittya vidyaya asatya rupaya eva paramarthataha avikriyaha eva atma vidvan uchyate. Vidvan atma vidvan uchyate. Okay. Atma alone is said to be the knower. From the standpoint of the known, we understand that. With Atma, Vidvan Uchyate. Atma, the knower is Atma. How avikriyaha eva? In spite of being actionless, in spite of being changeless, Atma is said to be the knower. Absolutely changeless. Why? Because of the buddhi, which is associated with the process of knowing. And what here? Vidyaya. And this vritti jnanam also is what? Asatya rupa. It's also mithya. Buddhi vrittya. Buddhi vritti means what? Because the thought modification pertaining to the Atma, which is Atma jnanam. Vidya means this knowledge, and which is also mithya. And there, Atma anatma viveka jnanina. When the akhandakara vritti jnanam takes place, there is some knowledge, discriminative knowledge of the consciousness and buddhi vritti, thought modification. Anatma buddhi vritti, atma the consciousness. Atma anatma viveka vijnanena, viveka jnanena. Because of the discriminative knowledge of atma the consciousness, anatma the vritti, because of the atma jnanam, because of the vritti jnanam, the self-knowledge in the form of vritti jnanam, which is also mithya, paramarthataha avikriha eva, absolutely changeless atma alone, is vidvan knower. The knower is, the jnani is atma. Eva meva Atma anatma viveka jnanena asatya rupaya buddhi vrittya vidyaya eva paramarthataha atma avikriha eva iti vidvan uchyate. Avikriha atma eva vidvan. Who is an over now? Please understand, there is no knower. Knower is always consciousness. Consciousness is implied with the term atma. The knower, even though Atma is not the knower, non-knower, Atma is said to be the knower because of its association with the buddhi, which is associated with the process of knowing. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, having said this much, Vidushaha Karma Asambhava Vachanat. So, Vidushaha, karma asambhava vachana means because there is now as a mention. Vachana is a mention. Because there's a mention of the actionlessness. Karma asambhava means actionlessness. Karma asambhava vachanat. Because of the mention of actionlessness on the part of the jnani. Vidushaha karma asambhava vachanat. Because of the mention of actionlessness on the part of a jnani. Yani karmani shastrena vidhiyante. Whatever rituals, karmas have been prescribed or are prescribed by the shastram. Tani, all those rituals, vihitani, have been ordained avidushaha for an ajnani only. Iti bhagavataha nischayaha avagamyate. Bhagavan's firm, clear teaching is understood that all the rituals, all the karmas prescribed by the shastram have been prescribed, ordained only for an ajnani, not for a jnani. Why? Jnani is, jnani means knower. Knower is Atma. Knower of the known is Atma. Knower of the knower Atma is also Atma. Knower of Anatma is Atma. Knower of Atma is also Atma. Knower is Atma. Okay? Therefore, Atma is actionless, but knower is actionless. Jnani is actionless. Therefore, all these rituals, all the karmas prescribed in the Karmakanda by the Shastram have been prescribed only for an ajnani. This also is made very clear. Therefore, combining jnanam and karma is also not possible. Bhagavan Shankara Bhagavatpada wants to mention here briefly but thoughtfully that combining the synthesis of karma and jnanam is not possible. And also he brings to light in this context. Vidushaha, let me tell the prose order of this sentence. Vidushaha karma asambhava vachanat. Vidushaha karma asambhava vachanat. Due to the mention of the impossibility of actions or the actionlessness on the part of a jnani, Shastrena yani karmani vidhiyante, whatever karmas are prescribed by the Shastram, tani, all those karmas, avidushaha vihitani, have been ordained for an ignorant person. Thus, this is the firm teaching of Bhagavan. So, it is understood, avagamyate. It's understood that this is the firm teaching of Bhagavan. Bhagavataha nischayaha avagamyate. Nischayaha means Bhagavan's conclusive firm teaching is understood. Okay, with this, what I have understood now? Jnani means knower. Knower is Atma. Atma is actionless. Knower of the knower. Knower of the knower means jnani who knows I am Atma is also actionless. Free from kartutva and bhoktutva. Okay. Now, Purva Pakshi comes with another doubt. Are you all following? Okay. Now, what is the Purva Paksha? Let me only make you understand the Purva Paksha today. And tomorrow I'll continue with that. Okay? I tell you, this sounds very, all this time because we've had disturbed classes previously. Yes, well, it's a very important portion because the disturbance in the classes I might not have made very clear for you before. Today, I think I made very clear. Still, if it is not very clear, don't worry. It will become clearer, 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 more, much, okay, in the following classes. Okay. Purapakshaha comes. Purapaksha is based on what? Based on what Shankara Bhagavatpada said towards the end. What did Shankaracharya say towards the end? He said, all whatever rituals, whatever karmas have been prescribed by the Shastram, they all have been prescribed only for an Ajnani. That is the base for Purapaksha. Yani karmani shastrena vidhiyante. Whatever karmas have been, karmas are prescribed by the Shastram, tani, all those karmas, vihitani, have been ordained avidushaha eva for an ajnani only. Iti. Okay. Bhagavataha nischayaha. This is what is Bhagavan's conclusive teaching, firm teaching. Okay. So this is the Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary here, isn't it? And based on it, he is coming with the question objection. Okay, not only the entire Veda Shastram, what is Purupakshi's view now? The entire Veda Shastram consisting of Karma Kandaha and Jnana Kandaha, both Kandas, okay, both sections, both portions, two parts of the Veda Shastram, the entire Veda Shastram is prescribed for an Ajnani only, ignorant person only. So then why only whichever karmas are prescribed by the Shastram, they're all prescribed only for an Ajnani. Why should we say this? That's the question he's going to ask. Nanu, look at this, Purupaksha. The Nanu is always a meaningless word, actually speaking. Nanu is simply prescribed, written to express one's objection. Nanu, if so, Nanu means what? If so, Vidya api avidushaha eva vidhiyate. Not only karma eva avidushaha vidhiyate. Not only karma alone is prescribed. Vidya api, please make a note. He does not say that. Vidya api nakevalam karma. Vidya api, you have to add nakevalam karma. Nakevalam karma parantu vidya api avidushaha eva vidhiyate. Not only karma, but also vidya, but also vidya also is prescribed, ordained for an Ajnani only. Not only Karma Kanda, subject matter of the Karma Kanda, but also the subject matter of the Jnana Kanda also has been, okay, is prescribed, is ordained for Avidushaha Eva, for Ajnani only. Okay. The entire Shastram is prescribed for an Ajnani only. Why do you specifically separate the karmas and say all karmas, whatever karmas have been ordained by the Shastram, they're all ordained, prescribed for Ajnani only. Why do you say that? That's the meaning. Understand? He's asking. Vidya api avidushaha eva vidhiyate. Avidushaha eva vidhiyate.